Call this meeting to order. Please stand for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic
for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, Brenda.
You're welcome.
So may we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Oglesby?
Here.
Councilmember Wisnowski?
Here.
Councilmember Stout?
Here.
Councilmember De Leon?
Here.
Councilmember Nelson?
Here.
Councilmember Page?
Councilmember Page is maybe late, but he's been excused. So I would ask to have a motion for the agenda approval.
I make a motion to approve the agenda. Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. The next item is the consent agenda. Do I have a motion for the consent agenda?
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Public comments are by written public comments only. And the next thing on the agenda is our public hearing. We've had quite a few written comments. There's been two people that requested to be on the agenda. So the first person was Deanna Kitsey, but I don't see her. And I see that, so let's move on to Kristen Bryant. Brenda, can you?
I just asked her to start her video.
Okay.
Sorry, it didn't work the first time.
Okay, Kristen, we need your name and city of residence. And Brenda will give you 5 minutes for your statements and then she will mute you.
Okay. Can you hear me all right?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, my name is Kristen Bryant and I live in Bellevue and I grew up in Black Diamond. My comments tonight focus on the intersection at State Route 169 and Ravensdale Road and State Route 169 and Roberts Drive. When developer Yarrow Bay, now Oak Point, came to Black Diamond in 2007, the city knew that more development would mean unbearable traffic at these intersections, and it was a problem that needed fixing. Yarrow Bay agreed to fix the intersections as part of its development agreement, called the DAA for most of us. Although the 10 Trails development is not the only source of traffic on these roads, Yarrow Bay agreed that without a fix, the bottlenecks at Roberts Drive and Ravensdale Road were reasons to limit new 10 Trails development. According to the plan set forth by the DA, the intersection fixes should be under construction by now. The six-year TIP's proposed timeline of a project starting in the year 2022 and going until the year 2025 for two-lane roundabouts is not appropriate. Allowing 5 years from now to finish exacerbates a dangerous situation in that area. The delays are routinely several minutes long or more at the Ravensdale Road stop sign. These delays equate to far below level of service F for the Ravensdale Road. Some drivers will inevitably pull out onto Highway 169 with dangerously short gaps between cars as the wait time lengthens. In my written comments, I provided a paragraph that goes into more detail about how the development agreement set a threshold for when Oak Point would need to ensure that the intersection was under construction in order for them to continue building. The summary is it was by their 327th permit for dwelling units and they now have well over 400 permits for dwelling units that were issued by just by the end of February this year. The proposed TIP has the intersections listed as rank 7, but this and starting in 2022, but this schedule and the prior delays accepted by the city ignore the requirements of the DA. The developer or staff may say the delays were unavoidable or unreasonable, or I'm sorry, reasonable, but the history of the plans for fixing the intersection show there was plenty of time to have a fix under construction by now. The city's preference for roundabouts was cited in the 2011 DA section 11.5.B. The 2015 WSDOT policy change to roundabouts has been cited as an excuse for delays, but that was 5 years ago. Fixing fish passage has also been cited as a reason, but the Washington State culvert case requiring road projects to fix fish passage occurred in 2013. The water main under the roads was also a well-known issue. Most importantly, none of these design issues change the fact that the side-controlled stop signs at these intersections are failing and have been since the developer's 2015 traffic counts. The delays can't be blamed on WSDOT. The developer has changed plans over time, and now there appears to be a design change on the city's part to put in double lane roundabouts instead of single. There's no reason for these to be two lane roundabouts. Double roundabouts will encourage far too much traffic on Roberts Drive, and Roberts Drive is a residential neighborhood street. It is essential to the city's small town character. The solution for additional traffic going east-west is in the development agreement and is called Pipeline Road. Will take 10 trails traffic and allow neighborhoods on Roberts to keep their small town character. It is clear the intersection fixes are not about to be under construction, and yet the required 327 unit trigger is passed. This is also not compliant with Black Diamond Municipal Code goals in section 18.98. The city's master development review team and the mayor should act to enforce the development agreement. 10 trails should not be allowed more building permits until these intersection fixes are under construction. This may have the effect of moving the fix to the Ravensdale Road and SR 169 and Roberts Drive intersections forward in time. The council is asked to find a way to adjust the TIP to require completion of the project sooner. Additionally, the proposed projects as double lane roundabouts are not consistent with the city's comprehensive plan transportation appendix, which indicates only single lane roundabouts at this location. The double lane roundabouts are not warranted by the year 2035 traffic projections, and they are also not warranted by the 2009 EIS for 10 trails. It is not appropriate for the TIP to contain a project that is inconsistent with the comprehensive plan. And finally, once you build Pipeline Road and the North Connector per the 10 Trails Development Agreement, there isn't a need for two-lane roundabouts at Roberts Drive or Ravensdale Road. Two-lane roundabouts are a major urban development, and they are not consistent with small-town character. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Seth, that I had the public comments going first, but you can speak after Deanna Kitsey. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, my name is Deanna Kitsky, and I am a Black Diamond resident.
Your comments will be limited to 5 minutes, and when the 5 minutes is up, the city clerk will mute you, so you can go ahead and start your testimony.
Thank you very much. So the project ranked number 26 on the proposed transportation improvement plans is for the North Connector Road, which will connect at Highway 169 and go south to new commercial and multifamily housing. The project is developer funded, and it appears the developer in this case is Weston Butt, planning commissioner and owner of the 31-acre property zoned light industrial, who is seeking a rezone to commercial. Why doesn't the TIP identify specifically which developer is funding the projects, if known? If the North Connector, as proposed, will serve Mr. Butt's 31 acres, this is a change from the original need for the North Connector, which is to serve the traffic from the 10 Trails Oak Point development. We have no analysis of what will happen to the 10 Trails traffic if a new development is also added to the road. Today, there is no new commercial and multifamily housing along the North Connector's location. The rezone proposal has not been through a review. The North Connector project, as listed on the TIP, is premature. The Growth Management Act does require consistency between a city's plan, such as the TIP, and zoning. However, the proposed TIP project number 26 is inconsistent with the city zoning map. If you approve this project in the TIP, you are approving a road project for a rezone that hasn't been approved yet. To approve the road project now is to put the cart before the horse. The rezone was opposed by dozens of citizens at a public hearing last fall with the result that it was not approved and is instead going to be studied more. If the rezone proposal comes forward again, there will be a public hearing process and detailed analysis. How can you know tonight that the North Connector Road is the right project to serve the development? The better course of action is to take this project out of the TIP until you decide on the rezone. At that time, you will consider the transportation needs for future development. How did this project get on tonight's TIP? Was it done by having a meeting with the developer and then the project showed up on the list? That's not how to do it. You have a hearing on the overall zoning and proposed project at the road, and the zoning are linked. This TIP project essentially prejudges the road needs for this rezone. With a full and proper process, there might be other road options you would want to consider. If you pass in your TIP tonight, you preclude that. Many members of the community came to a planning commission meeting last fall and spoke against the rezone. The rezone never went forward. Below, I added the comments though by the city. Additional people also spoke against the rezone at the opening and closing comment period, which is not documented in the notes. Thank you.
Thank you. So is there anybody else that wished to make public comments that didn't request public comments ahead of time? Seeing no one, I will have Seth address the TIP.
Mayor, can I interject for one moment? We were going to ask the council if they had any problems with the protocols that you had prepared for tonight's meeting.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry I didn't ask that question. Does anybody have any problems with the protocols that were prepared for the meeting?
No.
Okay. So, Seth, do you want to address the TIP? Mr. Botcher?
Oh, greetings all tonight. Good to see you all. I thought I'd give you a brief description of what we're doing here tonight with this, the 6-year transportation improvement plan, and then go through the comments. And then if there's any edits or that you would like to make to the plan, we can talk about that. And then if you're satisfied, we'd like to approve it tonight because of the timing. If we can approve it tonight, then we would meet our statutory requirement to have it, to send it to the state prior to July 1st. Well, this is an annual process. As new permits are processed and new intersections are dropping below an acceptable level of service, that's one way a new project will show up on the plan. And that's a theoretical level of service, because what we're accounting for is not the current level of traffic on the road, but we're accounting for all of the approved preliminary plats and other projects that have a vested right to continue with development. And so the theoretical trips on the road is what we're assessing. Then another way is we're looking at the pavement surveys or other needs assessments, whether it be safety or the road conditions. We might move a project up in priority or add a new project. So the categories of the projects are capacity adding projects. Those are typically grant and developer funded. Safety projects, maintenance projects, some pedestrian and bicycle projects, and perhaps some type of studies. Once we approve the plan, it provides the city eligibility for various grants. And additionally, the project list provides us with a 6-year plan. So if we were to say adopt a traffic impact fee, we could we would take all of those capacity adding projects to determine what a traffic impact fee might be. So there's good reasons to keep it up and keep it current. We do this exercise each year. We've completed projects. Some of those have dropped off and we've added some. But it's largely the same as what you have seen. So now I'd like to go through the comments. We received a comment from Philip Acosta. His primary concern was the intersection of 288th and State Route 169. Unfortunately, we can't add that to our 6-year tip because that intersection is in King County. There is some ties to that in that the master plan developer has some requirements for mitigation at that intersection at some point. There was also a concern that, or just maybe a side comment that sidewalks on the north end are dead last. We don't have money for to fund sidewalk projects, and so we need grant money to fund sidewalk projects. The primary way we would get sidewalks maybe would be with frontage improvements from development. That area being fully developed already without sidewalks, we're pretty much would need to have grant funding for that. One of the helpful things for getting a grant would be to make connections to major places where people want to go. In that area, that would probably be the future regional trail. Once that regional trail goes in, then you've got a much better chance of getting a grant to make connections to it. So that's why it's last. All right. The regional trail is coming and it might be here within 5-6 years. The next comment was, there was a comment from Deanna Kitsky and she spoke, the written is pretty much the same as what she listed here. The primary issue was on the North Connector that it was premature. I think maybe wanting you to move it to the end, I suppose. I'm going to share my screen because one of the questions is how did it get on the list? So remember that we're an urban area. We are required to plan for growth within the city. So when we look, the first step in that is our comprehensive plan. The North Connector has been part of our transportation element as far back as 2008, 2009, and remains in there. And the whole idea of the North Connector is to provide an alternative, local alternative to getting north-south in the city without having everybody having to go to State Route 169 to get to any points north or south in the city. I'll open this screen. So you can see this is State Route 169. I'm not sure if you can see the cursor there. It's pretty faint. But the North Connector is labeled clearly there, as well as the pipeline road. But this does provide the city with an alternative. Once that's, it's not there now, but at some point, down the line, you would be able to go from Jones Lake to Morgan Street and north without, and if there were congestion in other parts of the city, you have another way to go around. So this was by transportation planners, came up with this long before the Butts even owned this property, the property that was mentioned. The North Connector does show up as a necessary mitigation as a part of the master plan development and serves a portion of their project. So when we're looking out for the next 6 years, potentially, if we don't know for sure, but if they start developing the north portion of that part of the master plan development, the requirement would kick in then, or at least a portion of it. Okay, I'm going to stop. I don't need this anymore. I didn't gather any other comments from Deanna on revisions to the TIP, but it was more of a concern about comprehensive planning stuff like rezones and things, which is not germane to what we're doing here tonight. We've received comments from Bill Popp, and his concern about the levels of traffic at very long range, where this is actually a six-year plan. We're not looking out to 2035. So those comments would be more related to update of the transportation element of the comprehensive plan, which we'll be doing again here in a couple years, because that time schedule is coming up for us to do it again. So stay tuned, because transportation planning is adjusted, keeps being fine-tuned. The traffic patterns are changing somewhat. People are moving, and jobs are shifting. More people are working from home. So, and then there's things that maybe increase it, is there seems to be a lot of development south of us that continues to grow the trips of people just driving through. Kristen Bryant raised the issue of that the description is a two-lane roundabout. I agree with her, that needs to be fixed. And If you want to adopt this tonight, I would recommend that the two lane be changed to one lane. And how that got in there was came from a reference to the dimension of the roundabout, not the number of lanes. We are planning to build one lane roundabouts, but we want them wide enough and the diameter of the roundabout wide enough that if we ever needed to have a two lane roundabout, we wouldn't have the a horrible traffic snarl to completely rebuild the roundabout. If you make it wide enough, it's a simple improvement to the center rather than ripping out the whole thing. You know, we lived through Southeast 288 barely, but that was a project where there was an add-on to Maple Valley's urban growth area, and they didn't have sewer in that area. So sewer had to be extended down our street. And it was very disruptive. So making the roundabouts wide enough in the first place provides, is just good engineering and good planning ahead so that you don't have a enormous problem in the future. Angela Fettig. There was one other question, was adjust the TIF to require completion sooner. And the TIF is a planning tool. It's really doesn't work as it's not an enforcement contract. And it's not used that way. The metrics and the timings and the reinforcement of a mitigation project of when it's constructed, that's handled by the permitting arm of things and not through the planning for which projects that we anticipate seeing constructed in the next 5 to 6 years. I should actually say 6 to 7 years, because this plan is I wouldn't say wish list, but I say it is optimistic in that we know that we're probably not going to get all of these things completed within this time frame, but we're going to do our best to get as many as we can done. There were some comments by Angela Fettig, but I didn't see any recommended edits to the six-year TIP. In this case, she was saying the roundabout's not soon enough. So I guess that was one comment. She would rather see it moved up. But again, it doesn't. I think that's a reasonable time frame to probably get through the approval process. I think they're getting very close to a settled on concept between all parties. There's still the design and approval through WSDOT and environmental permitting and construction. So these bigger projects take a long time.
So Brenda wanted to interrupt.
Just for a procedural, I wanted to let you know that Councilmember Page did join. I got a message from him. He did join the meeting on time. He joined by phone, and at 7:19, he was able to get onto the Zoom meeting, so you should see him now. But he was present at the beginning of the meeting.
Thank you. Continue, Seth.
Okay, thanks. So I guess I would take any questions from council, and if you would like to include in your motion to approve an edit to change the roundabouts to one lane, that would be acceptable. That would be great.
Councilmember Stout.
Seth, could you briefly explain the difference between the six-year TIP and the traffic element or the transportation element of the comprehensive plan. I think there's some misunderstanding about that.
The transportation element of the comprehensive plan is it's a longer look, and it's looking primarily at capacity adding projects and not maintenance projects or safety projects. I brought up that one screen that showed the city's approved future planned road system. That is part of that road element in the, or streets and transportation element of the comprehensive plan. But it's based on studies that measure the traffic and then projections according to the growth of the city and projecting those future, the future number of trips and capacity problems long out into the future, so that we have kind of a pretty good idea of what will need to be built long term. So this is more a closer look at just what do we expect in the next 6 years.
Mr. Linehan.
Hi, thank you, Mayor. If I may, I just wanted to also expand on some of Seth's comments about the purpose of the TIP, the secure TIP versus the comp plan. I think one common misconception that people sometimes have is that by approving a transportation improvement plan, the six-year TIP, that this is improving, this is approving the projects listed on it to go forward. It doesn't do that at all. This is a planning tool to help the city figure out, okay, given what our comp plan requires and what we see coming down the road, what are the types of transportation improvements that we think might be necessary, and how do we think we might get those things paid for? It is not an approval of any project on the list. It is not an appropriation of money for any projects on the list. It is not a determination that any of those projects will actually get built. It is simply a planning tool required by the Growth Management Act so that the larger picture, long range items that Seth was talking about in the comp plan can be broken down into sort of a shorter term six-year window to figure out what needs to be done if the council wants to meet all of its priorities or objectives. I think another common misconception or perhaps misunderstanding is the projects that are listed on a TIP as being developer funded. There's really only two reasons why you would even include those on a TIP. The TIP is usually to indicate where the city is going to spend its money or may want to spend its money to build transportation projects. With developer-funded projects, that's not city money. There's really no need to even include them on the TIP, other than really in two circumstances. One, if the city has transportation impact fees, TIFs, impact fees for transportation projects, those traffic impact fees can only be spent on projects that are on a TIF, that are on the TIP, on the six-year TIP. So if the city had traffic impact fees, which it does not, then anything that we were going to spend those impact fees on would need to be on the TIP. But since the city does not have an impact fee program for traffic, there's not going to be any city money spent on those projects. The other reason why you would include them on the TIP, and I think it's the reason why they're included here, is by statute, the purpose of the TIP is to give the city a coordinated transportation improvement plan. And so to sort of coordinate large projects that we know are gonna be built by the developer with all the other stuff that the city will be responsible for building. It would be a little bit hard to plan all the things that the city might want to do with transportation money if you don't have all the other transportation projects that a developer is paying for also kind of on the list, so you can see how they all fit together. So I just wanted to make sure that folks were aware of those fundamental differences between a comp plan and a TIP, and between an allocated or approved project versus the planning document, the TIP.
Thank you. Councilmember Oglesby.
Thank you. And I just want to remind the audience out there that this is an annual update, that this comes to us every single year, and things on this TIP can change and be amended throughout the year. So with that understanding, I would like to make a motion to adopt resolution number 20-1359, approving the 2021 to 2026 6-year transportation improvement plan with the changes to the roundabout being a one lane versus a two lane.
Second.
Did we have a second?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any further discussion? Councilmember Deedy.
So, just on top of what our city attorney was saying, also, any projects that is developer funded, such as the roundabout, we know that the city has been needing that fix for a long time before Oak Point or Yarrow Bay ever came in. That, you know, the Roberts Drive and 169, it has always been a pretty bad section right there to get through. So the city, at good faith, will always go out for to try to get a grant to help with that funding to build those roundabouts. So because the city is deficient on things that need to get done, it's not solely on any developer that comes in. It's also made to be where the city needs to fix its issues too. And we would go out for good faith and try to get a grant to help cover some sort of cost. If we never get a grant, at least we tried, and the project would still move forward, if I'm correct, and David, you could correct me, but the city will still go out in good faith to get that grant.
Yeah, Councilmember Deedy, that's right. I mean, certainly city grant, if the city is eligible and receives grant money, then, you know, that can help to offset the cost. But if there's a project that is required through a development agreement, regardless of whether that grant money ever gets received, and that project still needs to be built. But again, listing a project on the TIP would at least create eligibility. You know, you can't get funding for a project that isn't on your TIP typically. So again, that's, you know, that's the only reason why you would include a developer-funded project on a city TIP.
Correct. And just really quickly, like I think Councilmember Stout mentioned, or Councilmember Oglesby mentioned, that these projects, all of them, are movable. So if something comes up and it's project number 21 for the sidewalks on 288, and we have the grant money sitting there and we can obtain it, then of course that would move right up into being number one or number two. So it's a movable agenda items. And like Councilmember Oglesby stated, that the council can go back and look at this list at any time, add, remove, change projects up and down. It's a living document, so we have a lot of flexibility with it. So that's all I got to say.
Councilmember De Leon.
Thank you. And a lot of what was already said, I concur with, because this is the thing. Our residents really need to have these road projects go forward. I think that's something that actually just about everyone in our city can agree with. I'm sure all of us have had those conversations with residents where we realize that, you know, like Roberts Drive, there are parts of that road that are in desperate need of repair, that we do need a safe entry and exit onto 169, including with Roberts Drive. That again, this is going to be something that is going to have to be concurrent with the funds that are available, as well as with just all the other moving pieces to it. It's ambitious. It's six years out. But all I'm just going to add otherwise is just impressing on the fact that this is something that I think is the most one of the most unifying things in our city is the importance of these road projects. So there are still a lot of things to work out in the details, absolutely. But again, I'm very much in favor of moving forward with this kind of good faith effort to continue to improve upon our roads. And otherwise, I think this also just impresses on the fact that, especially when it does come to, especially this at any potential state funding for our roads, the importance of making sure that that money is there, which is a whole larger question. But again, that ties into the fact that a lot of our revenue sources for roads have been, you know, they've been depleted, as we remember from our last session with the Finance Committee. So I think that's just something to just consider, that especially as we're moving forward, one of the many reasons why a project might be slower will be because of revenue, right? And some of that will be out of our control. So just putting that in there also just to keep that aware as we're moving forward, and especially for the public. But I am in favor of moving forward on this tonight.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So the next item on the agenda, thank you, Mr. Botcher.
Yeah, you're welcome.
The next item is a resolution authorizing the mayor to execute an amendment to professional services agreement with RH2 for the Black Diamond Springs Rehabilitation Project. Mr. Botcher.
Back on. Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Well, this is the Springs project is one of our most important projects, you know, outside of transportation. It's probably our other highest priority project. It's a multifaceted project, but some of the main benefits is redundancy that, you know, you may have heard it said that, well, why don't we just use Tacoma water, but having just one supply, even if it is fairly robust system, two supplies is very good for water utility, because there's always something can happen to a single source supply. And City of Tacoma has had to shut down their pipelines for maintenance at various times. And so if you have interties with other agencies and your own sources, that makes your system more reliable, which is another benefit of this project is reliability. A lot of the pipes and systems are getting old and more susceptible to failure. So parts that just good maintenance to replace things when they're reaching the end of their useful life. Also, there's cost savings. There's parts of the project where our pumping efficiency would be greatly increased, saving electricity in the pumping of the water. There's public health requirements that we want to address their concerns about the separating the spring water completely from the chance of any rainwater getting into the springs. And then also there's operational advantages to these projects of with the Tacoma's requirements for wholesale water, they will require that we tell them in advance how much water we need over the next 5 to 7 days. And that becomes a flat block. So we can, depending on the weather, we can kind of pretty well project, but the daily need of the water system fluctuates significantly between morning and the middle of the night. So you have to meet all of that that fluctuation with your own sources and storage. So in the future, as the city grows, we're going to depend more and more on our own water just to provide those daily peaks. So those are some of the big benefits of the project. So this being a high priority project, we've treated it as such. And so when issues have come up that that we need to address, we have authorized RH2 to react and be able to get to deal with an issue right away. And that's where we're bringing these, some of those authorizations to you for that out of scope work, so we can continue on with this project. The various phases of the project, maybe I could just go over that so you have kind of an idea. We've broken it up into basically four phases. First being the transmission main. The design is near final, but we're waiting for final mitigation or issues that may come out of the SEPA process. SEPA has been delayed from interjurisdictional process issues. And so we're kind of redirecting that, but that has slowed that phase down to getting to permitting. The pumps and the pump house that was linked to that, we have bid the pumps out and purchased them, and you've probably seen those back in the fall, those actions came by you. And the pumps are now delivered and in storage. And we ordered these ahead of time because of very long lead times. The panels, the control panels, have been designed and bid and purchased and delivered and are in storage. And we did that also because of the same reason. We're looking at the building permit really did not need to go through the SEPA process, but that we included it, not expecting that the SEPA process would get bogged down. The river crossing springs and the pipes from the springs to the pump house is another phase. And in the preliminary design, we looked at rehabbing the existing bridge, but we discovered there was significant corrosion in the ends of the cables when those were exposed as well, which raised constructability or access issues to redo the anchors at the south end of the bridge. So then we evaluated several other alternatives just to make sure that we were heading down the right path. We evaluated a cable supported bridge from the high bank to the low bank. And at first that looked quite promising, but later the engineers were saying we need to be able to stop sway in the cables, which then required sway cables out to the sides, which then required would have required cutting down a significant number of trees. That was unworkable for state parks. So environmental issues kind of cast that idea aside. We looked at a off-the-shelf structural bridge, but also getting cranes and access down was an issue. We looked at, had a directional drilling expert come out and take a look. But the expenses and risk pushed that out as a solution as well. We settled on a new cable bridge parallel and just west of the existing bridge. And this solution has several advantages. There is a large or a rock face on the south side or west of the bridge on the south side that would be a great anchor point for cables. And we won't have to deal with the sloughing material that's coming down where the existing bridge is. And we should not need to excavate very little or place very much concrete. We would just need to drill directly into the rock. And so this is would be a reliable, simple solution. And then finally, the last phase of the project is the spring source rehab. The preliminary design solution has been settled on capping the springs with a heavy polyvinyl liner and capping with rock and or soil. We have found that we will be able to collect the water we need from spring 3, and therefore we would reduce the complications of the piping system. And with the collection at spring 3, we don't have to deal with the erosion risks and mitigations to protect spring 1, which is above that, just above that slide area. So that's kind of the update of the project as a whole. And we'd like to keep moving forward with this and would need this amendment. And with that, funding, I guess this is funded by the Palmer Koch and Cole and the Master Plan Development, and is through the Water Supply Facilities Funding Agreement. And we request funds as needed to fund the work in the months coming up. And with that, I'm available if you have any questions or.
I make a motion to adopt resolution number 20-1360, authorizing the mayor to execute amendment number 2 to the professional services agreement with RH2 Engineering Incorporated for the Black Diamond Springs Rehabilitation Project.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? Councilmember Deedy.
So we had a great discussion with RH2. I think that was a week ago. And just a little information about this whole project. So one of the discussions, you know, I had with them is, you know, why wouldn't we just have, you know, a set amount, you know, here's how much it's going to all cost. But that wasn't doable because it, once you get in there and you engineer, you know, the engineer looks at everything from what the city thinks can happen. And once engineering gets involved, things don't always go the way, you know, just like Seth stated, the way you think it's going to go. And then it, you know, it obviously the cost changes. So it made sense to do this in phases. The other thing that we talked about, one of the things, you know, that was important to me and important to RH2, so everybody knows, and obviously to Seth Botcher, is that, yes, this is funded by the WFSA project, by the WFSA agreement, but in the end, it is still taxpayer money. This is still taxpayer money. We still have to repay this by,
it's through our system development charges.
Correct. So taxpayers, you are still paying this, but the WFSA team is paying up front and then they get credit. Correct, Seth?
That's correct.
And so I really appreciate the fact that your city and RH2, speaking with them, are very, know this fact and are keeping the cost, you know, so that the city, that, you know, the things aren't just getting done because, oh, we have the money, so let's just do that if it doesn't really need to be done. So they're watching out for our money, as I am watching out as well, you know, making sure, you know, trying to you know, understand everything and understand, you know, why all these projects and why are we doing this? And just so that we all understand at the end, taxpayers are the ones gonna have to repay this back in that credit. And the WUSA team, Oak Point, Palmer Cook and Cole are footing the bill up front because they need that project to get done. And just as Seth has stated earlier, it is good to have two water sources. It is rare for a city to own its own water. We are extremely lucky to have the springs, and I hope we always have the springs. I hope that's always our first choice. But like Seth stated, that if something happened, if the springs needed to be shut down, our water supply needed to be shut down for whatever reason, for a day or whatever, it's good to have the Tacoma Water to back us up so that nobody is out of water and life can still continue on as the city repairs the springs. So I thought it was a great discussion with the Public Works, and I fully approve moving forward with this. Thank you.
Councilmember Stout.
That was a great discussion at our Public Works meeting with RH2. And Seth, is this Justin, the RH2 gentleman who's on the call here?
No, Justin is with Oak Point.
Oh, that's a different Justin. Hi, the other Justin.
Oh, his name was Jeff.
We had Jeff Dillard and Jared Rebale.
Well, see, it's all those J's. I can't keep track of them. Yeah. Track of them all. They did such a great job explaining to those of us who are not engineers and who do not do these kinds of major projects. They had good diagrams and graphics for us. This Springs project is not uncomplicated. It's not about, you know, you think, okay, water coming out of the ground, a pipe, a pump, you know, a thing. It's not. It's very, very complicated and has some built-in natural obstacles. You're talking about vertical pipes that are dangling from the very edge of a cliff right now and tied off with a strap to a tree, which is a little shocking. But what a beautiful resource it is. And just mentioning the cost savings, I really appreciate that they really examine the various options and make the best choice for the city. And comes to mind that we have those pumps already that we bought quite a few years ago.
Last fall, but the pumps are just getting delivered at this point.
But the point is we bought them a little before they were needed.
Yes.
At 2018 or 19 prices, they won't be used for a while. And, you know, we all know that with inflation, things go up. So that was a pre-planning to get those pumps. You can't snap your fingers and go to Home Depot and buy those kinds of pumps when you want them. You have to be prepared ahead of time. And that was a good thing that was given. So as I said, very complicated process. The professionals have worked on this, and very, very expensive project, but we're talking about when you turn on your tap, you can have good, fresh, clean water that has come from a safe source. So that's what this project is all about.
So we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is an ordinance amending section 2.4.010 of the Black Diamond Municipal Code to authorize virtual council meetings during emergencies. Mr. Linehan.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. The ordinance that's in your packet tonight is sort of a testament to the old saw that necessity is the mother of invention. Our current code, like almost every city code in the state, contemplates a physical location for council meetings and tells us where that physical location will be. But as we've seen in the last few months, through the coronavirus pandemic, sometimes having a physical location for everyone to get to gather together could present physical dangers and threats to public health and safety. So in light of those very practical concerns that we're now living through, we felt it would be a good idea to build in a little flexibility into the city code so that in times like this, during times of emergency where large gatherings in an indoor location could cause public health problems, that the code would allow flexibility so that the mayor or a majority of council could decide that, okay, we're in an emergency situation, we're going to proceed to have council meetings, but we're going to do them virtually through remote technology like we're using tonight. And having now a couple months of experience of seeing how it works, and having the city acquire the necessary technology to make it successful, and having your staff well-trained. Brenda is an expert now at Zoom, and through the good guidance and counsel of your IT manager, the city now has the equipment and the resources it needs to do this. I think the first few experiments we've had with these kinds of meetings have shown them to be an effective way for the council to communicate with each other, to do so in an open and transparent way, to allow the public to listen and observe and see you guys interacting, and to even participate when appropriate, to allow the public to dial in and voice their own, use their own voices in matters like public hearings like we just did. So I think what this resolution would do is just, this ordinance would do would just be to change that one section of the code to allow a virtual public meeting to happen in times when having physical gatherings could present a risk to public health and safety.
Councilmember De Leon.
Thank you, Mayor. I was, looking through this update to our code, and after a lot of just reflection on it, it's just a very common sense thing to do, to just make sure that in the event of an extenuating circumstance like the one we were in now, I mean, I'm just reflecting on the fact that it's been 6 months, or thinking about how 6 months ago, this is not, I think, the trajectory we were thinking our city would be taking. It's very good to have these kinds of measures in place. And it's clear that there are a lot of parameters around it to make sure that whatever the case might be, pandemic of a century's, worth of, the worst pandemic we've seen in a century, an earthquake, anything like that. And I think it's just really important that we continue, losing my words here now, but that we just continue to have those safety measures in place so that we can meet safely and stay accessible to the public. So I think otherwise I would just commend the city staff for all of their due diligence in getting this operation up and running in such a short amount of time that we can continue these meetings. Again, I think there's some really good fail safes in here to make sure that we are returning to quote unquote normal business as soon as we can. But I appreciate that we are adding this in so that if and when another need arises, that we can address it accordingly.
So I make a motion to adopt ordinance number 20-1142, amending section 2.04.010 of the Black Diamond Municipal Code to authorize virtual council meetings during emergencies, providing for severability and establishing an effective date.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
So, Mayor.
Yes, Councilmember Deedy.
So if the council doesn't mind, and I might be a little late, but I think it's good to get it on record. If I make a motion on public hearings. So I'd like to make a motion to supplement Council Rule 11.1 with additional protocols for remote legislative public hearings that were developed by the mayor and posted to the city's website for purposes of conducting this public hearing, the one that we just had, on the 2021-2026 Transportation Improvement Plan. So I'd hope to get a second.
I second the motion.
Okay. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So I don't know if there was any department reports. I did get an email 2 days or a text 2 days ago from the, I guess it was an email from the fire chief that the 911 was having a lot of problems, and not just in Black Diamond, but across the board with some of their phone systems, and some of the phone systems were down, but I think it's been fixed now, but he just gave us some alternate ways to call 911 if we had to call 911. He didn't turn in a report today, so I don't have a report from him. On my mayor's report, we had a South County Area Transportation Board with combined with Seashore and Eastside, which we had a month ago. A month ago, there were 75 participants. On Tuesday, there were 108. That's the largest meeting that I've attended so far. And it was interesting. It was on Sound Transit and King County Metro, and people, how much money that they were losing and what the new normal was going to look like in the next months, and who was going to be riding transit, and how they were going to keep them 6 feet distance, social distancing on the buses. And and then we had a congressman that talked to us about funding for transportation projects, and it was interesting from the standpoint of people wanting to know about projects around here. And he was talking about especially the West Seattle Bridge, that there were many, many bridge projects across the nation, and we have no idea if you can get federal funds to do any of that, federal or state funds to do something for the West Seattle Bridge. So that's probably going to be an ongoing problem until somebody figures that out. But anyway, it was an interesting meeting, and then we had a South County Mayor's meeting with most of the mayors from the South County, just talking about what we thought it was going to look like moving forward and opening up. And nobody has plans of opening up yet. It's something in the future. And then we had a all employee meeting on Wednesday to discuss all of our safety precautions and how we adopted them and what it meant when you were working in the city, and that we were going to try to keep the same protocols. And we weren't ready to open up. Once we did open up, it would be by appointment only, not having just open doors. But Kevin Esping has been spending a lot of time putting plexiglass shields up in all the offices, so when we do start opening, they can come in and have the social separation from the people and staff, and by appointment only. And most cities are talking about doing it the same way. And those are the kind of discussions we've had with different cities, so the mayors of different cities. So anyway, we have a long ways to go before we know exactly what we're gonna do, but we've been working towards that as a goal. And it was good to see all the employees and be able to talk to them, because as management, we meet every week, and didn't really realize that we haven't really spent a lot of time communicating with the rest of the staff. So it was a really good meeting, and we're going to try to do that more regularly so that they can keep up to speed, because we know what's going on, but most of them don't come to our meetings, so they don't know what we're doing and all the steps that we've taken to make everybody safe, which is what we want to do. So Council reports, Council Member De Leon.
Thank you, Mayor. So a lot of what I otherwise would have covered, I think, got addressed earlier in the council session. So the only other thing that I will add on for now was being able to join in, including with some other folks here from Black Diamond, in on a multi-city, I guess, meeting, just to at least discuss and combat or discuss anti-racism work and what that would look like for our communities, and as well as for even additionally our school boards, especially because of everything that's been happening, just especially recently in the news, but of course, essentially for centuries too. It's just great that we're finally starting to address this as a city, and I look forward to the work that will come out of it. This was just more of a preliminary discussion from members of the communities, and I should mention the cities, Enumclaw, Black Diamond, Covington, and Maple Valley. Preliminary first step, just to kind of talk about what maybe would be the future scope and sequence. It's going to be a long project. It's going to be a long journey. It's going to take a lot of learning and discomfort along the way. But I really appreciated the work that has already been done, and that we as a community will be continuing to do to, I think, address a very serious issue that is just as critical as all of the other pieces that we are talking about in our city, including that it's all-encompassing with all the other work that we are doing as a city. So it was great to see the folks who were there, and otherwise I'm looking forward to what that will look like for us in the time ahead.
Councilmember Nelson.
We had I have been on my phone. A very close family friend just passed away, and I've been getting text messages for this whole meeting. I apologize. I have been listening. We had a Black Diamond firefighter that volunteered for 10 years. It was his retirement, his birthday, and his last day on the job. It was fun to go give him a pat on the back and an attaboy, and he cried. It was pretty cool. It's cool to be involved in the city stuff that involves Black Diamond. I don't want to steal Melissa's event, but we also had a really good core of the council go support our police department and get behind the best part of our city. I also had a chance to go meet with sorry, my brain's not here. I had a couple of just small meetings with city staff. It was really good. I'm just excited to, you know, work within the city and the people that keep us safe. And, you know, seeing Chris back on the road is encouraging. I will say that in the multiple police departments I work with, the level of hostility is negative. If you see a Black Diamond officer, give them a thumbs up, a high five, a wave. You know, I heard a story of Chris driving down the road and two people just flipped him off driving by because he's a police officer. And, you know, this is kind of ridiculous. So, you know, we've got the best police department in the country, I believe. So if you see these guys driving down the road, give them a high five, a wave, a honk, whatever you can do to encourage them, let them know we support them as the council, because they are our city, and that's all I've got.
Councilmember Page.
I will just say it's good to have technology, but it's a challenge sometimes to have these meetings, figuring out which button to push and how to get logged in. So. Oh, somebody's cat's going by.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. That's all I have to say. I don't have any report.
Councilmember Deedy.
Yep, that was my cat Watson. Okay, so I'll talk a little bit about the community center. So on the 27th, the community center has a Corona cruise. Thank you food drive coming up, and it will start at Provident Electric. We leave Provident Electric at 1 o'clock, drive through the city of Black Diamond, just with signs on our vehicles, and just saying, you know, thank you to our citizens for the huge support they have given us during this virus, COVID-19. And also just going around and saying, you know, telling our seniors we miss them. They are being served lunch through drive-up, but that's all the contact we get with them is just handing them a bag of lunch through their window and then they take off. So this is just a chance for the community center and for anybody who wants to join us to have a cruise. I know Enumclaw's done it. I think Maple Valley, Covington, I've done some sort of a cruise during this time because we're all still social distancing. So we just thought this would be something fun that people could get out, get in their cars, and the police department and the fire department will be helping us as well. There'll be donation sites listed if you come. It's also a Facebook page, event Facebook page, if you want to look that up. The other thing I wanted to talk about is that the Black Diamond Antique Store and the Black Diamond Eagles Hall. I mentioned last year that they had raised some money during their Labor Day car show and they wanted to donate that to the city for some benches. And the city, you know, at that time we were discussing it, it might be better that they just purchase that. So they did. So a couple of weeks ago, they purchased a bench made by a local gentleman who just happened to move out this way. So he built a really nice bench, and that is now at the pump track for people to enjoy. And when I ran into Dan today from Public Works, he said that he saw quite a few families out there enjoying their pizza sitting at the bench. And there will be one more bench coming, so the city can, Public Works can decide where they want to put that one, if they want to also add that one out there at the pump track. So that was pretty exciting. It's nice to have some seating up there outside by the gym and at the pump track. So that's the end of my report.
Thank you, Councilmember Oglesby.
Well, since we're sharing puppies and kittens stuff, I thought I'd share a little bit of love. So my new puppy says, hello. Okay, that's it. Anyway, council report, not much to report, but I do just want to tag back with Councilmember Nelson. We did show our support to our local Black Diamond Police, which is so dear to my heart with everything going on right now. And I truly believe that if you haven't had a chance to get to know your Black Diamond Police Force here in town, I encourage the residents, the businesses, to speak to them, to talk to them, to get out there and see who they are. They are genuinely great and passionate and caring people for our community. I just had a few Facebook posts pop up on my thing where it reminded me of both of my children, Cole and Isaac, when they were in the DARE program, and how proud I was and how proud they were to be with our children and teaching them certain things regarding DARE and whatnot. So if you get a chance to see, I'm backing up with Nelson here, if you get a chance to back up and see and your police officer out there, take a chance to talk to them, give them a hug. Well, not really a hug, you can't really hug right now, but you know, high five, elbow, whatever you want to do, a little dance with them. But you know, they can really use your support right now, as long, and also as our local businesses as well. As we go into Father's Day weekend, as we go into 4th of July weekend, look around your businesses around town. You have amazing restaurants you can order out from. You have some boutiques in town that are now open and serving you guys. Feel free to go out there and support that. You support them, you support us, you support the city. It's so important to just look around and just continue to give the love and support to your neighbors, your family, your residents, your businesses. And with all the hard work that our city staff is doing at home, I just want to say good job. I know we're all just trying to work really hard and how we can continue with our businesses and our what we're doing as city council members. So thank you, city staff, as well. You guys are doing an awesome job. We couldn't do this virtual stuff without you guys. Other than that, support local, support the police, stay safe, and that's my report.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
Well, I want to echo what Melissa and Pat said about supporting our police department. They're great guys, and they really do care about our community. And give them a thumbs up or something, right? Let's see, what else? I also attended Firefighter Rodriguez's last day. That was great. Hope he enjoys his, retirement over in Vantage. Hope he enjoys that. I also, if you haven't seen the message that the, is it the Valley Chiefs, Mayor? Is that what they're called?
Valley
Police Chiefs have put out. That's a really good video. Let's see, what else did I have on my list? Oh, the museum. So for those of you who are members of the museum, you got your little email that said, hey, we need a new furnace. We all knew they needed a new furnace. Might have had some conversations with some folks, and want to thank Brian and the folks at Ten Trails for stepping up. They've made a $5,000 donation to the museum and set up a, I think it's a GoFundMe. I should probably know what it is. I clicked on it and donated. So, but they set up a GoFundMe that they're going to match up to $5,000. So they gave them some good seed money and are helping get the word out about the GoFundMe. So if you haven't shared that, go look at the museum page and share that out. So let's get those furnaces paid for, because as we all know, they're not cheap, right? And I think the email said that the furnaces were like 35 years old or something like that. They're really old, right? So, and there's two of them. So let's get them one furnace that works, that's new. So, I think that's probably about it. Yeah, go out and donate a couple bucks if you can to the GoFundMe for the museum. Let's get that new furnace in before it starts, before they start needing it. A very cute puppy, Melissa. I'm sorry I didn't have Liberty here to show to everybody. She's around sleeping somewhere. So, but I think that's it. Thanks, everybody.
Councilmember Stout.
Bringing up the rear. I wanted to ask a question about the E911 problem. The fire department had put out the numbers of emergency numbers to call instead of 911 if that wouldn't work. And I'm wondering on this Black Diamond emergency 360-886-0022, is that a 24-hour number? Is somebody answering that number 24 hours?
You know, I'm not positive, but I think so. I think that's a question for Jamie.
Okay. So I just wasn't sure. A citizen told me that they thought that that was a business hours phone number only. So anyway, it would be just good to know that for future reference. I attended the finance committee meeting where we discussed the vouchers that were approved tonight. That Public Works meeting where we had the extensive explanation of the Springs Water Project was a great meeting once again. I attended the police appreciation visit. My forte is making muffins, so I brought him a bunch of muffins. And that Valley Chiefs police video really touched my heart, honestly, with hate and discontent toward the police going on in our society. It was just heartwarming to see these good police officers who go out and work and serve. And as I've mentioned before, I'm a violent crimes victim. Without Pierce County Sheriff and a SWAT team coming to my house in 1992, I don't know if my family would be here or not. So I appreciate the police on many, many levels, not just, you know, a big bad emergency, but on a day-to-day basis. They are there for us and do a really great job. I had some emails back and forth with Andy Williamson to get some explanations on the discussions that we were having tonight and some of the public comments that came in for the public hearing. And you know what? Email with Andy is not the same as sitting down in his office with him when he can really, you know, show you a map and draw you a picture, but he gets to the point and he helps me understand what I feel like I need to know. So And then tonight I attended the systemic racism and bias conversation. And to be honest with you, I was apprehensive about attending that community meeting. I didn't know what to expect. And in an environment where we're having a lot of contention and tough stuff going on, I was honestly a little bit nervous, but I was really thrilled with the discussion that was given there. Megan Sheridan and Alicia Bush did a really great job of pulling us all together. They had an extensive agenda, and I thought, oh man, we're not going to be able to cover this before the council meeting starts, but they finished everything within an hour and gave us some really good things to think about. And I already checked out one of the books that was recommended by one of the participants on the library audiobook app that I use. So I hope that if this comes up again in a community forum, that you will be willing to participate. We all need to be part of this discussion. And it's moving forward a little bit when we can talk about the hard things that are going on in our community. And you could say there isn't racism, but if you're saying that, you have big giant blinders on. And if you have a good heart, that's awesome. But there are people who are suffering in our very own community, and it's not fair and it's not right, and we need to be part of the solution. And let's see, where's my other? I already brought up the E911. So that is the end of my report. Thank you.
Do we have an attorney's report?
Yeah, Mayor, just briefly, I wanted to just put something on the council's radar that I've been working on with Brenda and with Barb Kincaid to try and map out the public process that will be necessary to adopt the school impact fees. So just FYI, you'll be seeing more of this coming soon, but looks like we're going to be able to do a council study session or work session at the end of July, where we can kind of walk through the impact fee, all the technical details, and you can answer all the, ask all the questions that you want, and help to understand the overall process and the nitty-gritty details as much as you want to understand them. And then looking forward to then having a couple of public hearings with the council and the planning commission in early August. And then hopefully we'll have a full package ready for your final consideration and adoption, hopefully at your second council meeting in August. That's the goal.
Thank you. We don't have an executive session, so I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.